الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: نون والقلم وما يسطرون، ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, brothers and friends, I have recited the first three verses of Surah Noon. As most of us know, that these words, known as Huruf al-Muqatta'at, individual letters, call them alphabets, the meaning of these words are known to Allah Ta'ala alone. Some mashayikh and ulama may allude towards some meaning, but they also conclude that this is not conclusive, it is not absolute, it is a possible interpretation. Whatever was needed by man, Allah Ta'ala had disclosed, opened out to him. Needs of this life, needs of the next life, whatever were required, Allah Ta'ala had taught it, explained it, illustrated it. What was not required, Allah Ta'ala concealed. Now the question is that why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to us in these words? The meanings are not known to us, but when He speaks to us, He speaks to us in these words. So the ulama explain that there are three benefits. The one benefit is we bring iman in these words. These are words, and the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wholeheartedly we accept them, impressing upon ourselves and others that iman is not subject to our understanding. Whether we understand it or whether we don't understand, trusting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the deepest confidence, we accept everything. Whatever is brought, small or big, we will accept all. So on account of believing in it, we already are getting a reward. This is a very unique phenomena with iman, that from the time the person accepts iman, then he is being credited all the time with sawab. Sawab is just running, just on account of the iman, and nothing contrary to the iman. Because you have accepted iman, and there is nothing contrary to iman, so you are getting credited with the reward. An act of iman, although it is very great, but after that, person is sleeping, he is in iman, so he is rewarded. He is eating, he is in iman, he is rewarded. He is in his bedroom, enjoying himself, he is in iman, he is rewarded. He is doing his business, he is getting rewarded. So how careful we need to be about the iman, that there must not be any type of flaw in the iman. Any weakness, any type of flaw, any type of misinterpretation in iman. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh speaks about this, and he says, things that are contrary to iman, one thing that is very common and rife today is the word that is used, ilhad or zindaqa. And this pans out in one of three ways. Sometimes we are opposing the right aqidah. We know what are the right aqidah, but then we will allow ourselves to be overwhelmed with our intelligence and with logic. So this is the one way of ilhad and one way of zindaqa. Outwardly we will portray iman, but within there is something that is contradictory within the heart, concealed within the heart. The second way is that although we call ourselves Muslims, but then we make a ridicule of any aspect of Iman, small or big, but we make a ridicule of it. And the third, he says, is we make tahreef. The easy explanation nowadays for tahreef is give a reinterpretation. Interpret, but against an interpretation that came from the self. So generally this reinterpretation in most cases is equivalent to tahreef, is equivalent to ilhad. So in this regard, how careful we need to be. Sayyid Ahmad Rifai rahmatullah alayh, he is the contemporary of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, and he says that I have seen this whole path. This path leads you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ups and the downs, the upheavals, the pitfalls, I've seen everything. And those things that will gain you the proximity and those things that will bring about the failure in this path, I've seen everything Allah has shown it to me. And the khulasa, the essence of all this, is just two things. One thing he mentions is the azmat of Allah Ta'ala, the yaqeen and the deep down, deep rooted azmat in the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all his ahkam, whatever the symbols of Islam are, but a deep rooted respect. In this respect and this yaqeen, we don't show any type of compromise, no matter who it is and what he's talking about, but this, we don't show this. Last week, Mufti Saeed Saab was there in Durban, so in the khatam explained that sometimes the person has come a little late for Asr Salah, and his friend meets up with him. But what happened? He said, no, I'm early for Maghrib. So he may be taking it casually, and it's not a thing to be taken casually, as explained, but I've seen it in a different way. Where this chore, where this thief is coming from. The thief is coming from, my understanding, is coming from a Western circular mind. Because that Western circular mind makes you understand, makes you believe that you're always right. You can't be wrong. That's the type of mentality it creates, no matter what's wrong the person has done, but it will not just put him in a position to say, you know, I made a mistake. Whereas the type of thought and the type of mindset we have been trained from Adam alayhi salam till now is when there is a blunder, is a mistake, and it's pointed out, then you raise your hands, ask Allah Ta'ala forgiveness. You're not losing anything. Now, just look, just compare the answers. One is the answer of Shaitan, and one is the answer of Adam alayhi salam. So, Allah Ta'ala addresses Adam alayhi salam, Alam anhukuma antilkuma shajara wa aqul lakuma inna shaytana lakuma aduwwun mubin. I ask you not to eat from this tree. And didn't I warn you about Shaitan? So, the immediate response, look at the immediate response of Adam alayhi salam. The immediate response is, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Allah Ta'ala, we've wronged. And we definitely need your forgiveness. That's an immediate response. So he could have also interpreted and said, you know, this was not something deliberate. And rufi'a an ummati al-khata'u nisyan. Someone does something accidentally and by mistake, then that is maafed. So this was not done deliberately. And oh Allah Ta'ala, this was the first encounter, and I couldn't believe that any person could take your name and speak a lie. So it wasn't that I did it deliberately or I did it because of him inspiring me. No, I did it because I couldn't believe that anybody could take your name and speak a lie. So he could have given a nice interpretation. So no, when Allah Ta'ala is talking, then this is what we're supposed to be doing. Admit that mistake and come open cards, and Allah Ta'ala will look at you favorably. And that's what happened exactly afterward. ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَىٰ. When Adam alayhi salam had this approach, this type of response, Allah says, we forgave him, we accepted him. So all this acceptance and this forgiveness came at that response of Adam alayhi salam. Unfortunately, when I heard the statement from Mufti Sayyid sir, that's what struck in my mind, that this is a Western secular mindset, that we are not wrong for whatever we do. We mustn't accept guilt. Just stand your mokif, just stand there, be firm, don't move away from that. Not realizing that this is going to take you deeper and dip deeper into that pit, into that mess, into a problem. Because once we already learned how to defend ourselves, then the second time, and the third time, and this goes on, no ending. Now compare this answer against the answer of Iblis. So when Allah Ta'ala asked him, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ, then what stops you? What is stopping you? I've asked you to make sajda, I've made him with my hands, but what stopped you? I just compare the answer. This side is Adam alayhi salam. We boastfully say that we are from Adam alayhi salam, and then it is his legacy that we need to continue. Now compare this against Iblis and what he has to say. So he comes up in his defense straight away. Now, the person that comes up in his defense, he thinks to himself that I'm clever, I'm sharp, I'm witty, I will not just listen to anything, so I'm sharp. So what he says, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ, I'm better. And again he says, أَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينَ, this person here, he, must I bow down to him? See that attitude is coming out, that which was concealed, that's now coming up. أَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ بِيَدِي. And he goes on to say that this person here, you have favored him over me. You have favored him. To me you have favored him. Whereas I'm here at your service for thousands of years. This man has just come up now. And he's been favored. And you see, this is the problem. This shaitanat. You can call it takabbur. You can call it jealousy. But that becomes the catalyst for disbelief. Aba was takbar wa kana min al-kafirin. Refusing, then pride and attitude comes about, and then that then leads to disbelief. And then he doesn't end there. His jealousy now has broken all barriers. When the jealousy has broken all barriers now, he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Then too, he doesn't want to assume the guilt. Now look at Adam alayhi salam's response, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا, we guilty. And here he is not prepared to accept the guilt, but he says, بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, Allah Ta'ala, because you threw me out of the path. Because you threw me off the path, so I'm going to mislead all his children. So there's two wrongs. See. The one wrong is that he's attributing this wrong of his to Allah Ta'ala, that you caused this for me. You made this happen. And Adam alayhi salam, his answer was, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا. He could also say, Allah Ta'ala, you caused me to forget. He could have also said the same thing. But that adab required that he takes the guilt for himself and he says, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا. And here, he shifts the entire blame onto Allah Ta'ala, بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. See, again, not wanting to accept that guilt. And this is where we are going off. As we are coming on the plane, so I just opened up Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's Malfuzat. And we heard it from our Ustaz, from numerous people. He would say, Main so saal ka kaam lekar ke aaya hoon. I've come with a mission for 100 years. And he says openly that, therefore now, what I say, the way I will show, that's the way to be emulated. Now obviously this is an inspiration, that what I'm saying now, emulate this. So, he identifies, where's the problem? You know, we're looking at a lot of problems, we're looking at. We say, you know, here's the problem, that person is the problem, third person is the problem. But now Maulana is saying, what was the original problem? What's the original problem in this day? He says, he identifies it with three things. The one thing he says, takabbur, this pride, attitude. Right? The second he speaks about boasting, right? Or not boasting, jealousy, hasad. So one is pride and attitude, one is jealousy, right? And jealousy can work across the board. In around 1980 somewhere, Maulana Abrar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali from Hardoi, he had come to Durban and he had given a talk in on Zinto. So he says this jealousy is such, it generally works with people of the same profession, people that are on the same line. So a grocery will have jealousy, will be jealous about a grocery shop. A cloth merchant will be jealous about a cloth merchant. A tailor for a tailor. A mechanic for a mechanic. And then he went on to say an alim for an alim. So if someone is excelling, then we can't see the person excelling. When we can't see him, then we have the jealousy of ours will force us to bring out some fault of his. Oh, this person here, he was like this. Some old faults of his, perhaps he did something in the madrasa in his learning days, or the ustad had asked him to stand out or something. So now he'll bring that out. Yeah, he's this person here. This person here, how can he excel? He was an outstanding student. It was that boy. So somehow, just to put the person down. But what's really talking is the jealousy. And we don't know very subtly that jealousy is talking, trying to pull out the person's fault and push him down. So Maulana identifies the problem with these three. One is pride, one is jealousy, and the third one, I was very shocked when I heard seen that for the first time. I was amazed. So the third one is hurriyat, this freedom, you know, freelancing. Now this freelancing is such an important thing. We don't want to be controlled, we don't want to be supervised, we don't want to be corrected. Whereas this whole akhlaq can only come right if there is some supervision for the small or for the big, for the things that are discreet or for the things that are open. But there is some supervision, then can you be corrected. But if there is no supervision, or the junior is not reporting to his senior, how is he going to get a direction? If the junior reports, or the elder sees it, and he corrects it. And it is such an important thing that we need to do it. I know some 12 or 15 years ago, where an elderly black person accepted Islam, but he was about 65, 70. So he wanted to stay in the madrasa and learn. So I said, well, we'll accept you. But then I looked at his age. So I said, no, it's not going to be appropriate for him to live with these youngsters. Because we were all type of students, blacks, whites, Indian, all reported. And they are much younger. And it's likely that they will not show him that level of respect that he is supposed to be shown. Now they're young, 16, 17, and he is almost 70. And it's unlikely that they will show him that level of respect. And this may just disorientate him. So I said, all right, we've got another madrasa. You just go to the madrasa, and they will take good care of you. So I sent him. In a week, Maulana from that madrasa complained. The complaint that he gives is that, see, I learned about the moustache overlapping the lip, mustn't overlap and all that. Must trim the moustache. And you all didn't bring it to my attention. Thus, you all allowed me to remain in sin for that entire week. Why didn't you all do this? So they saw it in a different way. They saw it in this way that he's a senior person, he's a senior citizen, and we need to broach him with a little bit of wisdom, and in time, we'll tell him in time. But now, his iman was at such a level, he says, why didn't you bring it to my attention? Why did you allow me to live in sin for an entire week? Now, I like that, see. That something is brought to the person's attention, and immediately, he is showing remorse, he is appreciating the direction that is given to him, he's accepting it wholeheartedly. Now what happens, the one that he's instructing, Now his heart is open. Now I've got a free and open passage with this person. I can tell him as I want. When Mawlana Abrar Sahib Rahmatullah had come in his last trip to the madrasa, so now you know, you clean the place and 10 minutes later there will be one sweet wrapper there, something or the other, you'll find it. So Mawlana was very particular about these things. Neat, everything must be in place, it must be neat. So he corrected us, what is this? So alhamdulillah, from that time, I accepted that correction. So I would see to it that even it was swept and everything was done, and 2 minutes later someone threw something, I would see that that is cleaned up. But this comes when you take the senior as your senior. Though Mawlana Abrar Sahib is not my sheikh, he's not my ustad, but then he's a senior in being, and he's a senior giving direction, reviving the sunnah, so we all accept him. Right? If he is showing you something, then we take it in that vein, and we accept it. But alhamdulillah, the Mawlana has passed away, I think, over 15 years, right? 15 or 18 years that he's passed away. But that thing still carries on. You see, just accepting that mistake from the senior and what he does to you. So, in reciting this word, though we don't know the meaning, but we are embracing it, having full iman in it, so we are getting credited with rewards all the time. The same will apply to the other huruf of muqatta'at, like Alif Lam Mim, Sa-Sin, Yasin, etc. See, the second benefit in reciting this word is for the recitation also you get a reward. One is for the iman, that it is the word of Allah Ta'ala, you're getting rewarded. And then being a word of the Quran Sharif, you're getting rewarded for that as well. And the third benefit, he says, and the moment you're going to be reciting it, then you will find a spiritual benefit, spiritual reward coming to you. So, in this verses here, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Al-Qalami wa ma yasturun. He speaks about the pen and what people write. So, pens that we know of are three types. The one pen, the first pen is أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمُ. The first thing Allah Ta'ala made was the qalam, pen. And He said, instructed, فَقَالَ لَهَا اُكْتُبْ, write. فَقَالَ لَهُ اُكْتُبْ, write. So, the pen wrote down the destiny of the entire universe. Now, this belief in destiny and taqdeer is such a great thing. It's a great thing. Apart from it being a great thing, it brings about so much of relief and so much of calmness. Just the belief in taqdeer. Right? Now, imagine there is an accident, there is a calamity, some problem that took place. Now, look at different responses. Person that doesn't have iman, so he will not be able to get over it. Why this thing happened? This accident, this person's negligence. Had he not been negligent, my son wouldn't have died today. Because of his negligence, now my son died, my father died, or whoever passed away, it was because of his negligence. Now, he can't get over that memory. Can't. And he wants to do him something, put him down, sue him, or do something drastic, right? Why? Because he didn't come to terms with taqdeer. Now because he didn't come to terms with taqdeer, so this is going to be the response. But now someone has this faith in taqdeer, now what? How will his response be? His response will be simple. He says, alright, for the moment I feel hurt. Alright, it's a tragedy. And to weep and to feel hurt at that moment is not a guna. But he'll learn to come to terms with it because he understands that this is taqdeer, it couldn't be avoided. مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُسِيبَكَ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ. So it's strange. What was supposed to happen will definitely get you. What was supposed to be avoiding you will definitely avoid you. It can't get you. So he'll learn to come to terms with it and he'll be relaxed. It's the destiny of Allah Ta'ala. It's the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala. He's destined it to happen in this manner. It's going to happen. It happened. And there's no two ways about it. It's going to happen. It must happen. Now, that's the relaxation that you get mentally. So, you don't need that psychiatric attention, etc., because you believe. So that thought comes, and you repel that thought saying, well, it was the will of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala had already destined it. It had to happen, it happened. so there's no two ways about it. No matter what the nature of the calamity, but he'll learn to come to terms with it. And if something good came on his way, so he will also take it in the same stride. He will say, well, this also came from Allah Ta'ala. It's the will of Allah Ta'ala, it happened. So he will not have a Pharaoh mentality. The Pharaoh mentality was when his people advise him, so he says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ إِنْدِي. His whole response is totally different. He says, no, because of my acumen. Me. I did this. I made this, made this happen. Had it not been for me, then this business wouldn't have grown like this. So that is a Pharaoh mentality. And a Muslim mentality is, لَا مَانِيَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتِ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتِ. What Allah gives, nobody can stop. And what He stops, nobody can give. And then you'll find repeatedly, أَنْبِيَا عَلَيْهُ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. And in the face of some blessing, what is the response? فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ وَمَكْفُرُ. Sulaiman alayhi salam, once the throne of Bilqis, right? And in a blink of an eye, the thing is there. Now but look at Sulaiman alayhi salam's immediate response. One is, we'll say it ultimately, so I worked for it, and you know, a lot of struggle went into it, a lot of difficulty, pain, a lot of sleepless nights I had. And now look at the response of a Nabi. The response of the Nabi is totally different. The immediate response, that is what counts. إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ إِنَّ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَىٰ. That what's going to be that immediate response? Now he sees such a great miracle, mu'jiza, taking place before him. Throne, a magnificent throne. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. A magnificent, great, huge throne, right? The description that is given is like something bigger than this masjid. Now in a blink of an eye, and the throne is brought so many hundreds of miles or kilometers before him. So now, he is not boastful, he doesn't attribute it to himself. The immediate response is, هذا من فضل ربي. It is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just to test me out, that am I attributing it to the right source or not. See, so this Iman, and Iman on Taqdeer, what he does. And this is the destiny that the Quran Sharif speaks about, مَا يَسْتُرُونَ. So this is the first thing that the pen had to write, the destiny of mankind. So it brings about relief, it strengthens your Iman, it strengthens your bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You begin to think, well, it happened, it had to happen, and there must have been some secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some wisdom of Allah ta'ala concealed within this. I don't know about it, but there is a secret, and there is something concealed within this. So you get to terms, and Allah ta'ala at times He would show it to you. I know, many years ago, I think it was 1979, over 40 years, Allah blessed me with the first Hajj. So all the ladies from the family, aunts and foys and khalas and all that, they also got ready, that there's a man, so let's join. Now, their luggage didn't come. 79, their luggage hasn't come yet. So they asked me to go and receive it from the airport, Jeddah. So I went up. Now, in the airport I'm seeing on Musalli, Ovi Chacha, I used to call him, right? I was deceased. Allah Ta'ala filled his grave with Noor. But whenever I think of him, I think of him as the pillar of the masjid. You see him any time, and he's there at the masjid. There were two, three people like that in the single. One was this Ovi Chacha, one was Desai Chacha, one was Duma Chacha. But at any given time, half an hour, three quarter before the namaz, after the namaz, but they are the pillars of the masjid. The young people get inspired, mashallah, these people have taken their places in the masjid, and they don't move, reciting Quran Sharif, and not looking around to the right, to the left, who's coming and who's going, what's the furniture like, is there any change in the masjid, carpets are the same, or have they been changed, where they got the carpet from? No, nothing like that. Came in, they took their place, and they're just buzzing, what work they need to do, and they're moving. So when I saw this chacha here, and he's moving from one end of the masjid to the other end. At the airport. This Ovi Chacha is in the airport and he's moving from one end to the other end. So being a Musalli, an old person, and it is our Iman also, that an all Muslim must be respected. I mean, is la lillahi ta'ala, that it would come, it would amount to the respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that an all Muslim is showing respect. So I went up to this chacha and asked him, Baji, what happened? Can I help you? He said, no, I got a confirmed ticket to go to Pakistan. See, it's confirmed, it's reconfirmed, but they're not just taking me on the flight. I've done everything, I've reconfirmed it, I've checked up everything, but as I come to the counter, there is flatly refusing me. So I told the chacha now, alright, let me go and help you. Let me see. I'm thinking to myself, perhaps I'll talk to them in English and I'll impress on them and maybe they'll just see me favorably. So I went up with his spare passport and his ticket. Now that Arab, when he says Mafi, is Mafi. Then you can't turn him around. No, not at all. If he says it once, then he'll stick on that. You know, you're not taking him on board, alright? Whatever happened, happened. Now we're still waiting on the airport. We can't leave the old man now all alone, right? Can't leave him trying to see now what can we do. So not even 1 hour passed, the news came that this plane was going over Riyadh, had been crashed, and all the passengers died. Right. Pakistani plane flying over Riyadh, and all the passengers. I had mentioned it to one friend, so he googled the whole thing and said, yeah, it happened. This day it happened. So I was there at the airport and this happened. But now at that moment it sounded so difficult, you know. I got the ticket, I got the confirmation, I got the reconfirmation, but they're not taking me on. And now that he heard, right, that Allah Pak saved me, gave me a second chance to continue with Amal, etc., then the happiness it brought to him, although there was calamity, there was some sadness, alright, what happened to these Muslims, but there was some relief on his face as well, that Allah Pak saved me. So many times, that destiny, the beauty of the destiny comes after. You don't see it straight away. Straight away you find it difficult, but just wait. Sometimes 1 year, sometimes 10 years, sometimes 20 years. 20 years later, you see the beauty of it. One youngster now, he's changed his life. I won't say a youngster, he's about 45, 50 years of age. Just showing you the beauty, right? So he says when he was in school, all this nonsense, they start off in the school, right? He says there was a girl there, she was like the beauty queen of the school. Everybody's eyes on her. Now, takdeer had it, she had to get married elsewhere, and I just lost out. And I had the pain in my heart, you know, that this girl here, she was the woman. You know, and I couldn't get married to her. I tried, but nothing worked out. You see this environment and what he does, this glance and what he does. That arrow, sahmum masmumun min siham iblis, this arrow of shaitan, what he does. Sometimes it doesn't leave you for 1 year, or for 20 years it doesn't leave you, right? Now after 25 years he comes to me and he says, you know, Mona, I was going in this mall here to do some shopping, right? One of my friends, for 25 years, now he must be about 40, 45, 50 or something. I was in the mall there, and that friend of mine said, see that, you know that same girl, that Jamil Apa, she's there. At that time, she's walking on a walker, right? And the beauty, everything is evaporated. So now, they don't have practiced so much of parda. So, you just went and spoke to her, what you came to buy. So, you know, I came to buy adult nappies for myself. Now, he said, for whatever it costs in the world, I'm not prepared for this girl. But for him to understand the wisdom of destiny, it took him 25 years. 25 years to understand. He would have been credited with the reward that ma fa'al, ma sha'a fa'al, what Allah Ta'ala willed, it will happen. And there is some hikmah, there is some wisdom. If he just went with the flow of taqdeer, he would have been happy from that very day. He would have been rewarded for that very day. Now, it took you 25 years to understand this. That is now because of the weakness of that iman in taqdeer. So, this pen we are talking about, there are three types. Right? So this is the one, the pen of destiny. The second pen that we hear and we come across in Quran Sharif, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. This is the second pen that the Quran Sharif speaks about, that there are two malaika that are appointed upon every man. We've known them commonly as kiram and katibin, and they know exactly everything has been recorded. Everything, whatever, small, big, everything has been recorded. مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Right? One word is being uttered, but there's an angel ready to record that thing. Now, if a Muslim or a believer has this understanding, that whatever I'm doing, small or big, hidden or open, that there is an angel, a malaika, that are recording it straight away. I ask you, is it going to be possible for him to commit a guna? You can see, you're driving on the road, and there's a traffic police, right? And he's just waving people. No mercy to anybody. I'll ask you, when you see the police, will you define? And when you're seeing how he's finding the people, how he's writing out tickets, will you define? Now, that money is so important to us that we will respect that person. We'll reduce the speed, just the cognizance of the presence of the traffic police, traffic officer, right? So this cognizance, the malaika with me, and the malaika recording, and you can't escape anything from them, what it will make you do? It will definitely keep you on check. You're taking cognizance of this malaika, so whether you are in the privacy of your home, or whether you're in public, whether you are in the bath, whether you are with people, whether you are with friends, wherever you are, but that consciousness that the malaika are writing down, small or big, they are not concerned, but they're just writing down. That cognizance, what it does to you, that consciousness that they are writing down, every small and big action is being recorded, so what it makes you do. So this is the second pen that the Quran Sharif speaks about. Then on the day of Qiyamah now, you're looking at your kitab, Iqra kitabak. Now, that's your book, you read it yourself. You won't need the help of an accountant or anybody to come and show you your book. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. You will be able to see your own records. Your own records, you will be able to read. Mr. Muhammad Shafi Sahib, rahmatullah, quotes on hadith, that person has got the book of deeds on the day of Qiyamah. And he will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I did this umrah, and this action here, and this deed, but there's no mention about the deed of mine in my books. So he's complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I've done this, but I don't see it mentioned here. So Allah ta'ala says, yes, you did that action, but then you made ghibat, you were gossiping, you're carrying tales, etc., inciting problems. So because of the wrong that you've done, this is wiped out. See? So after doing the action, then the second level is to preserve the action. It's not just doing the action, but to also preserve the action. You know, in this world, for everything that we know of, there is a preservative, right? You've got meat, there is a way to preserve it, there's a fridge, right? You've got a drink or something, there's a preservative, right? Or a sweet or a chocolate, whatever, but they will always add something as a preservative. So there's something to preserve your action. And the preservative is taqwa, to abstain, just to remain. Especially now, you'll be coming to the month of Ramadan, right? And then you come across the hadith, رُبَّ سَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ, that he's fasting all the day. But then, besides the hunger that he goes through, the pains of hunger that he goes through, no reward. Just the pain of hunger. Because he's been backbiting, he's been inciting problems, he's listening to gossip. Many a times we think, alright, I didn't do the gossiping, and I didn't do the ghibat, someone else did it. But, as Shaykh Ramutai says in the Fazail al-Amal, he writes it, he says, the one that listens to it is equal like the one that is gossiping. The person that is gossiping or is carrying tales, right, he's got his sin, and this person that is a passive listener, he mustn't feel to himself, he mustn't feel complacent that I only heard it, I wasn't actively involved. You're also a passive participant. If you're not active, you're a passive participant, so both of you all are equal in sin. So after that action has been performed, then the need and the importance of seeing how we're going to preserve this thing. So there's going to be a lot of things that will come on the way, and may just obliterate, it may just rub out the good deed that you have done. So how careful we need to be with regards to the preserving the action, whether it's a small guna or a big guna. Many a times we consider it to be a small thing, and it's just like a fly that sat on the nose and we just pushed it, we considered it, but we don't realize that that thing could be a catalyst for a destruction in your life. It started off small, but you didn't take heed of it, you didn't take care of the thing, and then it just grew, it just escalated, and that becomes a demolition, it becomes the reason for your demolition. So that's why the poet says, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً, that even a small guna, don't consider it to be a small guna, because the mountains is because of the accumulated pebbles and stones. That became a mountain. When all these things were accumulated, it became a mountain. So don't consider that small to be small. It may be very significant in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, or it may just, you may forget to make istighfar, and you may go on progressing, and before you realize it, and now you've got a monster before you. So Allah Ta'ala accept our Ramadan, and whatever roza, Quran Sharif, tilawat, ibadat, zikr, etc. Allah give us the tawfiq to preserve it as well.